Emma Watson was banned from driving. What car does she drive? She drives a wicked Audi S3, cos
I drive 2.5 hours to come here. It always ends up being like a 5 minute or a 20 minute job.
The Clio has returned.
Need for Speed, potentially shelved.
The creamers are against me.
Everyone knows you're towards Bristol.
They can tell by your accent.
If there weren't people around, that tissue box would be out, mate, honestly. literally.
Hello, and welcome back to the 41st Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Edwin, Will to my left, Benjamin behind the camera,
hello,
and special guest Dips from P1 Auto Keys. If you don't know, P1 Auto Keys, you do supercar key coding,
yep,
key cutting, yep, recovery of any vehicle that you can't get a key into, basically, yep, right?
And Fiat 500s.
And Fiat 500s. and yeah, we thought Dips should come down because Dips has helped us with all sorts of car projects. And every time you've been here, you've kept telling us very interesting stories. So we thought, you know what? Dips is a man for the podcast.
Cool.
So before any of that, though, we need to answer the question, do cars rule or ruin everything around you this week? And you've got something quite exciting today.
Yeah, happened. I can't believe it. I'm trying not to smile now. Everything. everything's been good. Everything's been good this week. But for some reason, every time I come here, I drive 2.5 hours to come here.
Yeah,
I have to bring this up though, because I drive 2.5 hours to come here and it always ends up being like a 5 minute or a 20 minute job.
Yeah.
So I always account for the whole day.
So the first time was the Porsche.
Yeah.
We asked Dips to come down because we thought the wiring harness in the Porsche was completely fried. There was no way the car would start. Dips came down and went, your hazard light's upside down. That's it.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing.
And that fixed it. And then the second time was the Abarth.
Yeah.
He came down and I said to Dips, you know, they've ripped apart the ignition. It's gone. And Dips went, no, the key barrel's still there. It's fine. We can just swap it out. The key blade's there. We just need a new key barrel.
Yeah.
So swapped it out again, done. And then today, my dad actually has bought a Giulia QV from Copart, a quite horrifically damaged one, but decided to rebuild it. Couldn't get it started. So said, can you speak to Dips and see if I can pay him to come down and look at it? So I spoke to Dips, said, oh God, this is going to be hard. This is going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a blown 5-amp fuse.
It was literally a 5-amp fuse.
It was a 5-amp fuse that I missed.
But it would have taken an amateur ages to figure that out. But then you got to pay the big bucks to get the pros in.
For a man to go, you know, that fuse is blown.
I even asked him, I guess, has all the fuses been checked? And he was like, yeah, Edwin's checked all the fuses. And he actually said, little Edwin.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, little?
My dad is the same name as me. Yeah. So I am little Edwin.
Your dad's really tall as well.
He's also a long man. He's Dutch. We got the Dutch genes going.
Yeah.
But hold on. So before anything, so that was a little bit annoying. You had to come down for 5 minutes, but it did mean you had time for the podcast.
Yes.
And not only that.
Yes.
You made a deal potentially off camera before the podcast. What is that for?
Okay. So the deal is for the Ferrari 360.
So Alex's Ferrari 360, yes, the previous Jeremy Clarkson car, and also written off, ram raided, drug dealer, something.
Yes,
car.
By someone that did a heist and that. So yeah, you've heard it here first.
So that might be Dips's baby now to try and get going.
I've never owned a supercar, so I've always wanted one, and I've always loved Ferraris as well. And I can't believe it's even happened.
So that is cool. I'm excited for that.
It's so epic.
So for you, then, it's a rule this week because of that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Will?
The happiest man. Also, just to get this out of the way, anyone who hasn't seen Dips before, he's the happiest man on earth.
Genuinely.
He's just been sold one of the worst Ferrari 360s of all time.
I'm so happy.
And he is unbelievably I'm going to go with a ruin. I have, again, no reason to... No, sorry. I'm going to go with a rule because I have no reason to ruin.
Sure.
No major things for me.
Benjamin? All fine. Ben?
Rule. The Clio has returned.
You have him.
And it's running great, to be fair. A new drive shaft is in, driving nicely. Gearbox.
No more noise?
No more noise. Gearbox may need something.
That's okay.
But great. Genuinely great. Apart from that, nothing else. And the TVR is a rule now because it's finished.
Yes.
Finally.
I was going to say, so I maybe half an hour ago would have been a ruin, but it started. We got it started a minute ago. It revs. It now potentially might get into boost. We might need to take it out tomorrow and see if it gets into boost. And then it goes off for tuning, I believe, on Thursday with the guys at TRS. I'm excited. So it's rule, back for rule for me. God, that's four rules.
Yeah.
Four rules.
That's crazy.
It's definitely a good week.
We've never had that before, I don't think. I don't think we've ever had four rules.
I've actually got other good news as well. So my BMW E30 that I've not driven for over 13 years.
Crazy.
Yeah, is now got a new engine and the car's gone to get the engine put in. My 235, which died on track at Silverstone last year, that's getting fixed as well. So technically by the end of August, I should have two working BMWs and hopefully a Ferrari 360 as well.
You know what? You're tempting fate. You're tempting the gods.
I wanted to ask this actually, because whenever we see you, Dibs, you turn up in the van.
Yes.
The van, because that's where you need to work out of that van.
My little office.
But then every now and then you drop a little like, oh, I've got an E30. Yeah. And then the 235. How many cars do you have right now? Is it just those two are there more?
No, just them two.
Have you had those for long?
So the E30 I bought in 2009. And then...
And that's a fairly big build, that one.
That one, yeah, stripped down to bare metal, nut and bolt, and engine, suspension, wheels, everything. All I've got to do on that is just the interior now.
Built to be like a bit of a... Not a show car, but like it's very nicely finished clean. It's not like a track car or anything.
No. Far from it. Far from a track car. The ultimate goal for that car was to build it and take it to Germany and like to the museum and wanted it to be a very clean example, because I've always wanted a BMW E30. I never owned a German car. That was my first German car as well. So
that's sick.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And that's keep forever?
That's a keep forever car.
That's cool.
But the car actually sat years ago. I sort of had the car for a year, drove it for a year. And then decided that, we had hailstone damage in Leicester, which was really bad. And it cut through the roof because it's convertible. So it flooded the interior a little bit. And I thought, okay, no worries. Take the carpet out, dry it out. Took the carpet out. Oh, there's a bit of rust there. Oh, we'll just sort that out. Oh, actually, whilst I'm doing that, let me just sort a bit of the wiring out.
Yeah.
And, in fact, if I'm doing that, I'll just take the dashboard out. And, actually, there's a bit of paint that needs doing. Before I knew it, the whole car was stripped to bare metal. Like not a single bolt on the car, suspension, everything. Engine was out, everything was out. And 10 years on, well, more than 10 years on now, here we are. Car's painted, wheels are done, suspension's done, engine I got ripped off on. And it's had three engines and I've never driven it. I got ripped off twice from two people that were supposed to put the engines in and sort it all out and they didn't. So now I found a company in Nottingham, E30 Knots, and they've rebuilt the whole engine, every single part, and it's brand new.
So it's getting close now.
Getting close.
Well, that's good. I'm excited. We've heard about this E30 a lot, but never seen it. So I'm excited for the day we get to see it.
It'll be so cool. And the crazy thing is I've never actually, I mean, I've posted the odd pictures here and there and stuff, but I've never actually done any videos on it.
Yeah.
Cause I've had it for so long. It was before I even did any YouTube work or anything like that. So, and then the 235 only had that about 2 years now. So
that's cool. And that had an engine issue?
No. So my friend was driving it. Shout out to Daz at Darkside Body Shop. He was driving it on track at Silverstone. And he goes, Dips, you don't know how to drive. Because I've got all, you know, when you go around on track and you get all the little rubber bits on the tires.
Yeah.
And it had so much rubber on it because I wasn't driving it quick enough to go around the corners and clear it. I thought there was something wrong with the suspension or something because the wheel was falling off because it was juddering when I was going around track. He goes, I'll take it round and I'll clear all the little rubber off it. Went round and it didn't have a baffled sump. Went round one of the corners and the car just cut out.
Ooh.
Literally oil starvation, seized the engine there and then spun a bearing. So we sent it off to London to get repaired. It ended up going back and forth more than three times. And I just got fed up with it. So it was off the road for coming up to a whole year. And I was just like, I'm just going to get another engine. So got another engine and the head was cracked on it. So I was like, what is going on with this car? So we got their head sorted out and everything. Bob at Machine Shop sorted all that out. And then I was just like, as soon as you put it in gear, it would just keep cutting out.
Mm.
And then we managed to get that bit sorted. And then it was just driving really rough. And it turned out that the oil was not the right oil in it.
Mm.
Got that sorted. Car's running okay, but it's got a small oil leak now. So I've just given it to VRS just to sort all their bits out on it. And hopefully 1st of August, I should have two working.
Oh. Two working BMWs is that's rich.
It's one of them things where you like say, which car shall I take today? And I've always wanted to have that. You know, like you wake up in the morning, what car shall I take? At the minute, it's always like, okay, get in the van. It doesn't matter where I'm going. I could be going to a wedding and it's like I'm going in a van. So it's going to be nice.
Nice.
Good, yeah.
Do we have any news or anecdotes of the week?
Not many major news. So again, like last week, we'll blend them into anecdotes.
We'll run through them.
Something we kind of missed last week. I think, Ben, you've put this in. Need for Speed potentially shelved
Yes.
I don't want to speak out of turn, sir. Once again, so Edwin, bring it up. You have him.
What happens is when Ben puts a story in, I then go in and research it.
You're his researcher.
I'm the fact checker. So
the fact checker.
This is I mean, it works. So this is not confirmed by any means, but it relates to our story the other week about speed hunters being nothing happening with speed hunters. A guy called Matthew Everingham posted on Instagram, and he was a collaborator, is what they used to call it, on Speed Hunters, who would post photos and that sort of stuff. He was, I believe, Australian. And he posted on Instagram saying, Speed Hunters is on ice. EA has shelved Need for Speed, and that means no more funding for the site. I'm grateful for everything, the trips, the stories, the lifelong mates. I'm still shooting, just doing stuff for video. So it's basically him just doing like a celebration post of his stuff at Speed Hunters. But he dropped in the throwaway line, EA has shelved Need for Speed.
Hmm.
So whether or not that is true, we don't know yet, but he is semi-close to the source. Yeah. He's close enough to EA. EA owns Speed Hunters, so he should know.
Yeah.
So that would be very weird. That's a big name to lose.
Yeah. The last one wasn't great, but there's always room for him. It could get better.
Yeah.
Maybe it needs a little bit of time off.
Also, Ben, that's your guy. Need to speak.
Although you told our story much more eloquently than I ever could, so I thank you for that. Because I was just sort of thinking, you know what? This is great.
Yeah, anyway, so Need for Speed's dead.
Yeah.
Ben's news.
Well, next up, actually, it gets worse for Ben.
Oh, it's tough. This is a tough week for Ben.
So last week, Ben, you know what?
No, you know what? You have to explain to Dips what you said.
I don't want to put myself up for bullying. So if you want to bully me, you have to tell me the story.
No, you have to say what you said.
Okay, Dips, what happened last week was, which you would know because you listen to the podcast every week.
Of course.
basically, I was driving home.
Yeah.
I think it was to my house where I live.
Where you live.
And I saw a garage was open and there was a E39 M5 in this garage. Under a sheet, under boxes. And I thought, no, this can't be true. And we had a whole debacle about whether that was good or bad or whatever.
But we asked, I said to Ben straight away, now, how did you, it was an E39 M5. And he said, yes. And immediately we said, so you see it from the front or the back? He said the back. So I said, okay, so you saw the M5 badge and you saw 4 exhausts. He said, yes, I did. We went through the spec. We tried to find the car. We couldn't. Anyway, Benjamin, you then received a DM from a very lovely viewer.
So I just want to preface quickly. I did actually say, I didn't know.
No.
I think you can tell where this is going.
Blank the town that he said.
Oh, yeah.
He did say.
So this was from someone called Joe Emmett.
Right.
Joe has messaged me. Bearing in mind, it's 5:39 PM and the podcast went out in the afternoon at some point.
Yeah.
So this is crazy, right? Afternoon, Ben. Hope you're well. Thank you. I've just been listening to the podcast on my way home, specifically the section of a stored E39 M5. Coincidentally, whilst at this point, I was traveling southbound through the village of blank.
And just out of interest, where is that village? Is that village perhaps the exact same village?
Quite specific.
I will get into why this is very true in a second. And on my left, I saw an open double garage with a semi-covered Titan Silver E39 revealing itself. I thought, I've done it. This is great. I passed at a mile 25 miles an hour. And it appeared to be either a 525i or a 530i with a single exhaust brackets, not a downswept diesel variety. An M badge was present, though there was a lack of 5 afterwards. Potentially completely wrong location, but I thought the information would be worth sharing. Now, what I can confirm is that I did not say the direction I was traveling, nor the actual village itself.
No.
And that was the exact village I was traveling through in the exact direction, which I thought was mental. What the chance of you driving through that exact village at that exact moment whilst I was talking about that on the podcast and you look to your left, you just see it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But not only that, for fate to not only bring you through the same village, but to disprove exactly what you said.
This is how I know that the world, the creamers are against me.
So we have confirmation that it is not an E39 M5. It is an M Sport E39 Titan Silver.
But put yourself in my shoes, okay?
Okay.
Absolutely not.
It's not for me. I'm traveling, not really paying attention. I'm paying attention to the road, but not paying attention
good save.
To what is in garages. And I see in my peripheral.
You know, that makes you a weaker man than us.
Yeah, fair. I admit that. I see in my peripheral an E39. Okay. Now I've seen an M badge. All right. I think it's also half under a sheet. Can I say that quickly?
No. Hold on.
I'm not going, oh, what, the exhaust tip is downturned. No, I can't tell. I don't know that, do I?
But Ben, cut back to that footage when we said, now, did it have quad pipes? And you went, yeah.
I didn't say that. I said, I didn't know.
No,
that's true. Wait, no.
Hold on.
I'm pretty sure I said that was...
No, you said, we said, did it have an M5 badge? Did it have quad pipes? And you went, yeah.
But it had an M badge. So an M badge versus an M5. I can't see the little number five from 400 feet away, can I?
Oh. 400 feet?
Yeah.
And the story keeps changing. And I was going 85 mile an hour past it.
It was in the distance. It was miles away.
Listen, I'm not one to lie to the creamers here. I made a mistake.
You know what? Fair enough. But owning up to it.
I also got mugged off by a viewer immediately after saying it. So
I think he went out just to...
Yeah.
He heard about it and he's like, I'm going to find this. I'm in the local area and I'm going to scout the
area.
He
went around knocking doors, went, do you have any 39 M5? And everyone went, no. And he went, I'm onto something.
I want to know how that happened. It shocked me. I don't know how, the chances of that must be so slim.
Yeah, the chances are ridiculous.
Yeah. Also, I don't think I even said.
Or you're being followed.
Where in the, maybe.
Also that.
I did think that briefly.
So I was behind Ben and I can confirm it was not an M5.
And I am absolutely not a member of the emergency services.
I was in Ben's boot and I saw it myself.
But I don't know if, I don't know how you knew what part of the country that was in, so.
Hey, he did, well,
let alone the specific village.
You know, everyone knows you're towards Bristol.
Yeah, but that's,
they can tell by your accent.
It's not that close to my house, but it's
where you live?
Where I live, yeah. Okay, it's sure, not, sure. It was a crazy one.
That's a crazy one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's solved.
L for me. Yeah. I can't wait for those comments.
Next up, Edwin, you put in here something that baffled me and I was told not to look it up. And I haven't. I promise I haven't.
Please read it verbatim.
Harry Potter and the 12 points of driving ban.
Okay. Now, Dips, have you heard this at all?
No.
Is there, okay. So would you like to guess? So actually, no, you know what? I'll explain it. Emma Watson of Harry Potter fame, Hermione Granger.
Okay.
Was banned from driving.
I did hear about this.
She got 12 points for speeding. What car does she drive?
A Tesla.
No, she drives a wicked Audi S3. Cause
she got an S3.
she got banned from driving. 12 points in an S3.
12 points. Sorry.
Emma Watson is ultimate Bradford driver. That's crazy. She's in an S3, and I'm talking like a 2015 gen, like a not first gen, not second gen, like
8V.
Is that what it's called?
I think it is an 8V. Yeah.
But one of those, she got banned for driving for speeding in one of those.
Surely she's stage two.
In one go, or did she get 12 points?
In totting up.
Oh, okay. But so she's collecting them.
But here's the best bit.
Was it two big ones? Was it a couple of small ones?
What's the woman? I forget her name in Harry Potter and in the, she's the woman from My Family. You know, the mum from my
your family?
Family? From my family.
My family.
Family. No,
my,
yeah,
family, the, my family.
She's called something. Hold on.
So, apologies. Sorry, Hermione Granger is hitting roundabouts at like 90, yeah. Elbow delete.
Elbow delete and all. Hold on.
Because 12 points, that's either you've got two big six-pointers.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing maths here. Two big six-pointers, or perhaps that's four threes.
So that's
a lot of speeding. I've never been banned.
She's cool.
But not for that.
That was one big one, wasn't it?
And I can't picture the S3 at all.
Sorry,
do you have a photo of the exact S3?
Yes, I will.
Some kind of wizardry under the bonnet.
Zoe Wanamaker.
Yeah.
She was, you know her from
Harry Potter. I recognize the face.
Yeah. I'll pull her up.
She does the brooms.
She does. Yeah, that's it. She does the brooms.
Her. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guess what? She got banned from driving for speeding on the exact same day in the exact same court.
What the f-
Yeah, that's what? Not a joke.
Emma Watson looks over and goes,
going too fast on that broom.
Daniel Radcliffe pulls up in a Urus.
Was remapped.
But that's, the more I read into it, the more I was like, this isn't a real story. Mm. This is not a real story.
Maybe it was some sort of Harry Potter hoon. They went on together.
Yeah, yeah.
Says here, you were riding a Nimbus 2000.
You're a driver, Harry.
Hagrid came fast on it with a sidecar.
Here you go. Just straight up. Oh,
yes.
Not even that new. We're talking like almost 10 years old.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. We're talking prime financed 4D plates, you know, black no window tints.
Although she's got a little bit of rear tint.
A little bit of rear tint.
Chrome trim.
Surely we've got a map on that.
What's the fitment, sir? I can't see from here.
It's standard.
It's not great.
Just standard.
So we need some spaces on there for the next ban.
Yeah, yeah.
Maxton kit.
Yeah, ring up Maxton, say, look, I'm Emma Watson. I've been banned from speeding. I need some parts.
It's Leviosa.
But actually incredible. Yeah. Like, the more I read about it, so I'll pull up the article quickly.
Now, what I'd like to know is that is a car, you kind of got to be in the know to have an S3.
Of course.
So perhaps Emma Watson is into cars.
But she didn't go for the RS3.
No, she wants to keep it.
But is that because she knows she's quick?
She's
so it's almost like to nerf yourself.
Yeah, all right, fair, yeah. She knows that an S3 with a map is basically as fast as an
RS3. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. She's literally like, she's got a sleeper, basically.
It's like, well, I can go through speed cameras. I'm Hermione Granger. I do what the hell I like.
So we got fast forward 24 years. Both actresses have been busted for speeding in their cars.
Busted.
Watson was caught traveling on Banbury Road, Oxford, at 38 mile an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone.
Okay, so
the offence took place on 2024 and saw her driving the £30,000 Audi, which had previously been towed away by the police. This was as interesting. It was parked in front of a house or something. Meanwhile, Zoe Wanamaker was caught driving 46 mile an hour through an area of roadworks on the M4 eastbound near Newbury. Yo, I'm racing her. Wait, I'm a finder and racer.
Now, what is she driving?
And I couldn't find that. I did look into it, but I think it's just like it's a Skoda or something.
Okay.
It's nothing too... Yeah, she's pulling up at a C63.
Yes. Now, I actually want to ask, can you look up if there's a list somewhere of the cast of Harry Potter's cars? Because surely there's something cool there. There's some bread floating around in that.
What's Harry Potter? What is Daniel Radcliffe driving?
I don't think he's driving anything particularly.
He's quite crazy. Humble, really. He's Harry Potter, but I mean, you know what? He feels a bit Volvo.
Or he's...
But like a T5 or something. It's a fast one. But you have, if you know, you know.
No, he's a T-Rock man.
It's like the scar on his head. If you see that, only if you know, do you know who he is.
Like an S6 or an S4?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah. I haven't seen one of those in a while.
He looks quite smart, but you know, and it's like, if he didn't have that mark on him, I wouldn't know.
Now, Ron Weasley drives a Hyundai something.
Do you want to know who he actually drives?
What?
An ice cream van.
I've seen that, He did buy an ice cream van.
That's a fact, yeah.
But he gave him ice creams out for free or something?
Unfortunately, I cannot find any information on the cast and crew.
Dumbledore's in a Jag, big time. Dumbledore is in a jam. He's in an old XJ.
He calls
it an old smoker.
Yeah, just had Tom Lenthal do a service on it. Absolute murder.
Yeah, get a supercharge it next year. Wait till that Voldemort guy comes along.
Who, Michael Gambon?
Yeah.
I don't think...
You don't think he's a Jagman?
I'm pretty sure he's not alive anymore.
I didn't say Michael. Yeah, no, of course not. I'm theorising. I'm salivating and fantasising.
I didn't know. I thought, yeah.
Here's something for you, Ben. Dumbledore's also not real. I know it's a bit of a weird one.
No, Voldemort, you were saying
but they
the
killed
actor.
Voldemort at the end. He can't be alive.
I thought you were saying the actor.
No, I'm saying like Dumbledore as a character.
Dumbledore's... Shall I tell you like something shocking?
Here we go.
I've never watched Harry Potter.
What? Really?
None of them.
Do you know what? As someone who only consumes car media and doesn't care for anything else, great. You should watch it. It's actually great.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Great. It makes you feel like a child. Okay.
Genuinely really good.
Do you know anything about it? Do any of those names ring a bell?
The names ring a bell. Because everyone talks about it, but I've never watched Harry Potter.
Just wait. I think it's like the fourth or fifth one where Hermione buys the S3 and she's just whipping it around Hogwarts.
Ron, get in. The road stretches before you, but there's trouble ahead. Stationary cars. You're faced with a McDonald's side mission. Do you A, join the ever-growing queue, or B, take the next exit and treat yourself to a glorious Mackey's?
Detouring to McDonald's.
Start your side mission today.
Bam, 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 bam. But yeah, what a ridiculous story.
That's insane. I wasn't expecting the second.
No.
There's been a second Harry Potter.
That's what the judge said at the High Wycombe Magistrates Court.
Also, judge like a Harry Potter fan going, what the fuck? Whoa. Yeah.
Although neither of them turned up to the court hearing. They just got sentenced. Like, they said, you know what? I'm not turning up.
Or maybe they weren't there. Visibility cloak.
Just pulls up.
That is like that potion that makes you look like someone else. Yeah. Harry Potter. It was that. It's just some guy from Bradford made himself look like Hermione. Anyway, moving on to some more serious news. Stellantis has made a $2.7 billion something loss. Ben, you put that
$2.7 billion loss in the first half of 2025.
That's quite a lot.
Sorry, in the first half,
and that's across a few brands, but it's like your classics, the ones you'd expect.
Now, Dips, out of interest, what new cars do you tend to see the most faults with in terms of like eco, the sort of stuff that you deal with? Because you know, someone that works on cars from a mechanics point of view is going to see different failures to what you see.
I'd probably say, so obviously Stellantis Group's taken over a lot of the, obviously they do the Vauxhall, Peugeot, Citroën, DS. They are relatively reliable considering French cars never really used to be reliable.
Yeah.
I want to say the worst car, not even the worst car, the car that we have probably the most problems with, it's probably got to be Fiat.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, just they're
keys not working.
It's more to do with the they've introduced security gateway modules now.
Okay.
So all the new cars have got security gateway modules. So when you try and connect to it, you can't. You've got to like put another lead in place and all the rest of it. But a lot of the times it still won't communicate, or you'll still have an issue with it and stuff like that. Aside from that, I think a lot of, I mean, I've not really had no major issues with cars that are causing coding issues and stuff like that. A lot of them are getting to the point where if you've not got a dealer key from the dealer, that's where it will cause a problem.
Then it makes your life hard.
Yeah. Because like, for example, the new BMWs, Mercedes, we can't, no one can do Mercedes after 2015.
Really?
Apart from dealer.
Like, so you have to go to them.
The software has not even been developed anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Like literally, they have locked that software down so much. The only software you can do it is with Accenture. So when people ring me and say, oh, I've got a 2016 Mercedes, can't do it.
Really?
And does that like, make that car is so old now. Like, you know, when you think about a 2016.
Yeah. But does that make those Mercs safer in terms of like car theft stuff, or are they just as susceptible to?
It will definitely make it safer, but it just means there's more risk of it being stolen with the keys, which means there's now going to be people entering the house.
Yeah. Breaking into your house.
Yeah. So that's where it's that fine line of, if it's a keyless theft, do you just let it go? Because even I think about that sometimes. I'm like, well, if you've got a keyless vehicle, do you just let it go, or do you secure it that much that they're going to want to now enter the house?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And it is a fine line. I can't answer that for anyone. It's just how you look at it. I know friends that have got really expensive cars and they're like, I don't give a shit. Let them take it.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess if it's insured.
They're like, I've got my family in the house. I don't care. I'd rather them take it from the driveway. One of my cousins, he used to have an M5, a new M5, and he used to leave the key next to the door.
He's so like, whereabouts is he?
You know, he was like, and it made complete sense because he's got two little kids, and he's like, well, if they're going to break into the house, I'd rather they break in and not come upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Take the car.
Yeah.
I don't care about the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get that. I completely agree with that as well, to be honest, because it's just, your family is more important than a piece of metal. As much as we love cars, it's piece of metal.
And now, obviously, call it 5 years ago, it was JLR, or mainly Range Rovers and stuff being stolen. Do you still, because you see a lot of it.
Yeah.
Is it mainly still those cars, or have they moved to different cars now?
No, so
it's still Range Rovers.
Range Rovers massively. Alfa Romeo's hugely getting stolen now.
Really?
Yeah, because I won't go too much into it, but they just rip the radars out at the front, and there's ways of communicating through that to then code a key and just unlock the car and drive away.
Because it amazed me that when you were talking about the Abarth that we worked on, that they essentially just need to plug into the OBD, was it four times?
Yeah.
And then it unlocks the car.
Yeah. A lot of cars now. So with old cars, what you used to have is you used to have your security system, and then you'd have the ECU and everything. They're all running on separate circuits, separate networks. All these new cars, because they've got Cambus now. You've got Cambus, Limbus, Nimbus. They're all networks.
Come on, Harry Potter.
That's crazy. Yeah.
they're all networks. And because they're all networks running around the vehicle, headlights have Cambus wires on them.
Right.
So even if someone ripped a headlight out, they're now already inside the network because they can communicate with it. So this is where manufacturers made a mistake by putting that network on every single module. And they did that because everything needed to communicate. And because everything communicated with each other, they would have modules on the headlights. They would have modules on the radars. They'd have modules on the door control, central locking side of it. So if everything's got a module, everything's got a Cambus wire going to it. If everything's got a Cambus wire, you're technically inside the network now, the minute you take that out and communicate through it. So a lot of cars are getting stolen now so much easier by them just taking one part out of the car, plugging in, and that's it.
It's funny that it's basically gone back to the crisis in the 80s and 90s where cars were so easy to steal.
Yeah.
And then we got safe, and then we're going back to them being just the easiest thing in the world to steal.
They got rid of mechanical steering locks and they put electronic steering locks.
Yeah, that's crazy to me.
Which is... it's stupid because if you can, the minute you code a key, you can just unlock it and it will release the steering lock.
Yeah.
That's it. It's job done. So,
do you see it getting worse still?
Yeah. So there's been a massive spate of old classics getting stolen. So like
Chris Harris's M5.
Yeah, exactly. The M5. Another one of my friends who's got a BMW E30 M3.
This was the convertible one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Convertible one.
Yeah.
Tamid's one that got stolen. There's like a whole bunch of these old classics getting stolen now because the youngsters won't know about this, but the older thieves know that they're worth a lot of money. Mm. Do you see what I mean? And they know how to hotwire them.
Yeah.
Because it was such a simple task back in the days. And that's, it's not going very well, really, to be honest with you, with keeping vehicles secure. I think bollards are good.
If yeah.
You put a bollard in front of it. And
I guess from what I've seen, I guess if you put physical things in place, either it's locked away, it's underground, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good one. But if someone really wants to steal a car, they're probably going to get, get it somehow, whether it gets put on a lorry or whatever.
Exactly that.
There's some really brazen ones. There was a story like years ago of the one that someone had an RS3 stolen off the driveway.
Mm.
The police found the car, took it to a police compound, and they then stole it from the police compound again.
That's yeah,
insane. That's the most brazen thing. They're like, I don't know why, but I mean, yeah. And I guess some of the older cars, because whether it's stolen to order or what, stealing Chris Harris's car does feel a bit dumb. Maybe they didn't know that.
But didn't know that, actually. Yeah. So I do a lot of work for the police when cars get stolen or are involved in armed robberies and like murders or whatever. But the cars get picked up and they get taken to, for example, like Crouch Recovery and places like that, recovery companies. So they have Soco bays there. So I'll go in, open the cars, unlock the cars so they can take fingerprints and stuff like that. And the amount of cars that, I mean, obviously one of the places I went to recently, they had an R32 there, they had an R33 there, they had a Mazda RX-7 there.
Really?
And these are all cars that had been stolen. And obviously they're waiting to get processed and all the rest of it. And you're looking at some of these cars, these are classics from back in the day, but there's people out there that still know that these are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? It's like when you've got like R5 GT turbos and stuff like that. Back in the days, them Cosworths, just get stolen all the time. And then when all these RS3s came out, all the youngsters didn't even know what them cars were. They didn't know that an R5 GT turbo or a 205 was worth money and stuff like that, or a Cosworth was worth money. But they get stolen, and I don't think it's the youngsters that are stealing them. I think it's just the older thieves who have sort of thought, 1 minute, these cars are worth like 10x what they were back in the days. So they're either showing the youngsters how to steal them, or they're just going out and doing it themselves.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. I seen one where it was actually, I think it was GVE or something, one of his staff members got a BMW E36, and they literally put it on a low loader and just picked the, like literally went there, dropped the bed down, put it on, and just
off they go. Yeah.
Off they went. And it's like, they are so brazen about how they do it. Yeah. It's just absolutely mad.
Without getting into too much of like a political skew on it, it is also because they know they won't get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Like they don't chase them down. The police will go, all right, here's a crime, here's a case number. Mm. Oh, if we find it, we find it.
Yeah.
It's not a priority.
No, exactly.
And even the equipment that they're using now, like with the signal blockers and stuff like that, if you've got a tracker, they can block the signal of that tracker. And the problem is if they're blocking that signal of the tracker, you're not finding that car. Because you can have 3-4 trackers in it and it's going to make no difference.
Yeah.
We did a video with Mark McCann a while back on how easy it is to steal supercars compared to normal cars. And it was quicker for me to make a key and drive away in a Ferrari, a McLaren, compared to his Renault Clio.
Yeah.
So for me to make a key for a Renault Clio, the one with the cards in it, you know, the card ones that you get, you have a 10-minute wait on there when you're programming it in. Whereas with a McLaren and stuff like that, you're plugging it in and press the button. Okay, done. That's it.
And off you go.
It's just madness. Absolutely crazy. But that's the manufacturer's fear.
on that, or this is on sort of list of questions. Have you ever had, knowing what you know, and you can get into cars and you have got knowledge on this stuff, have you ever had anyone a little bit shady, a bit dodgy, try and approach you somehow to try and get information? You do all the time?
All the time.
Because
I got offered a little while back, I got offered $5,000 to open a van, unlock a van. Now, I only charge like 70 to 120 quid to unlock a vehicle. So when someone's offering me $5,000, I was like, well, why would you do that? And he's like, oh, they've stolen my stuff, this, that, the other. We'll call the police then.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
He's like, oh no, but it's not like that. It's a bit complicated. And I was like, mate, I'm not doing it. Like, as simple as that, I'm not doing it. And he's like, oh, you don't have to bring your own van. I'll take you there and then you can come back. It's in Birmingham. Like, yeah, you're having a laugh, mate. Like, literally no chance. Yeah.
You meet me there. I'll just bring a balaclava if you've got one. I'll meet you at 1 a.m.
He's literally like, he goes, I'll make sure people are waiting there. So if anybody comes out, they'll deal with it. I'm like, mate, I'm not. If your stuff's inside that van, just call the police and they'll get it out. Yeah. Yeah. Simple as that. Like, you don't need me to unlock it. He's like, yeah, but it's a bit complicated. It's like, shut up. I get offered the silly money to do jobs like that. And yeah. I'm just like, I'm not ruining my business, my everything I've built for this, yeah. this for this long, not ruining over something like that. And I wouldn't do it. Like, why would you?
You could buy a really nice 360 though.
Yeah.
You could buy a really nice.
That's getting alarmed up to the max.
But yeah, I always wonder with like in that business, it's like the crossover between,
yeah.
Cause are there some people in that business, to be fair, actually we've been told about someone we know who is like that, where they were a bit of a naughty boy in the past, but they now do it as a job, having sort of done their time. Have you come across many like that, where they're ex-car thieves or whatever, and they get into it?
A lot of people
that
are in the trade have done, not saying a lot, there's a percentage of people in the trade that have started off by doing things like that. Like, I get asked all the time that, oh, were you a car thief? That's why you can get into them quick enough. And I'm like, no, I've never stole a car in my life.
No, officer.
I used to nip my dad's car all the time and take it for a drive when I was 15 and that, you know what I mean? In my little 205, but I'd always get caught as well. My dad would be like, he'd be somewhere away and he'd be like, you better get yourself home right now. Because someone spotted the car and it was bright yellow. So just like always get caught with that. But no, for me, it was more about, I just love electronics, but there are so many people within the industry that have started off doing shady stuff. I mean, if they've sorted their life out, brilliant, because everyone deserves a second chance. Do you know what I mean? I always feel that. But there are a lot of people that have approached me to say, can you teach me this? Can you teach me that?
What's the biggest or dodgiest one you've ever had? Or was that one it?
Oh, no. I've been asked to do some really shady stuff.
Oh, go on.
I can't mention it. No.
What's something that you can't reveal the details of, but you can tell us the story of? Is there anything that comes to mind that's a great dinner story?
One that won't get you killed.
Yeah, that's the problem. difficult to say.
Okay. If any come to you while during the podcast last night, have you got some? I think
what else we got on here? What else we got? From that, how did you get into doing this? What did you do before this?
So my background,
other than crime.
Yeah, my background is car electronics. So I used to do, in the Max Power days, I used to do all the big stereos, like all the fiberglass installs, TVs in headrests, and won loads of awards and everything as well for it, which was really nice. I used to do that. And then that sort of led to car electronics diagnostics. The diagnostics sort of led to immobilizers as they were getting introduced into cars. And then the key side of it only came in because cars were starting to come out with it, like your parking sensors, MP3 players, and they started coming out with everything that you sort of get in a modern car now. That trade of having a nice sound system in the car sort of died out a little bit. The Max Power thing just died out a little bit. And then we went into doing like sort of diagnostics. So like just electronic fault finding, basically. Yeah. That led to immobilizers led to keys, and then here we are.
So a couple of years time, it might be something new.
Yeah. I actually stopped doing diagnostics because the key side was so busy for me. I was like, I don't want to do any diagnostics whatsoever. I just want to go out and do car keys now. And then when I started doing Matt's work, Chris's work and all the rest of it, I got instantly inundated with, oh, I've got this problem on my car, even your lot's cars. Inundated. Oh, I seen what you did on Top Dead Center. I seen what you did on Auto Alex. Seen what you did on Matt's channel. And okay, cool, I'll do it. I really don't want to, but I'll do it. The diagnostics takes a lot longer than me just going there and making a key for a car.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? And the money that I make on doing a car key is a lot more than I would make on doing diagnostics. Do you see what I mean?
Plus also, like, a key is a finite, I have to do a key.
Yeah.
Whereas you might turn up to something like one of our jobs and go, oh, this is 5 minutes, or it could be days of relooming
exactly
a car.
Exactly that, yeah.
And then your bottom line's still the same.
Exactly. And then people don't want to pay. Not saying people don't want to pay, but the hourly rate of doing diagnostics and doing electrical work could be could end up in the thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people don't want to pay that. Whereas if you say to someone, oh, if they say, oh, I've lost my car key for this car. Okay, cool. It's going to cost you 250 quid.
Yeah.
I'll be there. It'll be done in an hour. And that's it. You know what I mean? So yeah. But now I've ended up going back to
when or how did the like YouTube, because obviously you are the YouTube key electronics man.
Yeah.
Now, if there's an issue like this, everyone goes, I'm going to call Dibs. Dibs knows how to fix this. But when did that start? I mean, obviously like Matt and Chris,
so
Chris Licks probably one of the first.
The first YouTuber's work that I did was actually Chris Licks's.
Okay.
So he had an Audi TT that he bought from auction, which was fire damaged.
Yeah.
And it didn't come with a key. So he rang me. I didn't even know who he was at the time. He rang me, goes, oh, can you sort this key out? I didn't even know that he was going to video anything.
Yeah.
So I got there and I see all this camera equipment and I'm like, okay. And then he's like, do you mind if I video? I was like, mate, go for it. Do you know what I mean? So I did it all, explained everything. He made an amazing video of that. And then Matt actually lost the key to the M5 that he had. He didn't actually lose. He thought he'd lost it and he thought it may have been inside the M5 and it might have locked itself. So I went there, unlocked the car, turned out that the key was in one of the other cars.
Mm.
And then after that, he just started ringing me for other bits. Chris started ringing me for other bits. And then those videos really pushed my Facebook and my Instagram out there. And then I think after that, I did Mark McCann, did some work with Mark McCann. And then Alex rang me to do some work. And then you guys. And then it just absolutely blew up. Like
so, literally. So TDC was, you know, the catalyst.
Yeah, TDC was there. Yeah, that
was exactly. Yeah.
It was all building stuff.
But, yeah, so. Yeah, that's it. But it absolutely blew up after that. And then I did the podcast with Ben.
Yeah.
Road to Success, and that again pushed it as well. And it's literally. And then everyone kept saying, "Oh, you need to set your own channel up. You need to set your own channel up." And I was like, "I did have a YouTube channel, but there was nothing on it apart from like I'd just post like the odd track day videos and stuff like that." Or me just in my cousin's M5, just going ham on it, just going absolutely mental. He literally bought it and he was like, do you want to have some fun? I was like, yep, give me the keys. So I just did like loads of donuts and stuff. Like I used to post them videos up, but I had probably about, I think I had about 12 subscribers.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just, when Matt's video went out, it went from 12 to, I think it was like 19 or something like that. And then obviously your lot's videos, Alex's videos, Mark's videos, Chris's. And we're at like 24,000 subscribers. Christ. But that's all happened in 8 months.
Yeah.
That's literally been 8 months, 8-9 months, I think it's been now. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you obviously get now a lot of, you get inundated with messages.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember, I don't know if you wanted to mention this, but I'll mention it loosely. You mentioned before you had someone in the US who had an issue with a BMW, I think it was, with some mad job.
I've got to go down to that still. We've still got to sort that out. So basically mice have ate through. It was a 7 series and mice have ate through the wiring loom.
Yeah.
And he's had the car's been to so many places and no one can figure it out. So he's asked me to go down and sort it out. And I was like, yep. I goes, is the car still in its current condition? He goes, nope. The interior has been completely stripped out. The wiring loom has been stripped out. And I'm like, he goes, the dashboard's been stripped out. So the first thing I'm going to have to do when I get there is put everything back.
Yeah.
And then figure out what, because really if mice have ate through the wiring, all you really have to do is repair that wiring.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of modules need replacing if it's shorted out anything. But now I'm going to have to go back and fix what everyone else is effed up. And then.
Yeah.
And then.
But that's insane. That's in the US. And someone has.
I get calls from America regularly now.
Really?
So yeah. I get calls from America, all over Europe. I got calls from Kuwait. Like a few weeks back, I got calls from Kuwait. But America, I get so many calls from there, like loads and loads. So that's why the plan is now to go and set up P1 Auto Keys in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And then just go there, spend like a week every month or 2 months and just do keys there.
Just fixing all the Americans' cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of them calling you an American and being like, mate, can you pop down later today?
Yeah.
I've just got a car in New York if you could just fix it.
Do you know what the crazy thing is? I'm good at electronics, but I'm so crap at directions. Yeah, so when someone rings me and says, oh, I'm in Florida or I'm in, I don't know, Texas or something, I'm like, oh, is it far from Las Vegas? And they're like, yeah, it's like a 6-hour flight or something. And I'm like, oh, I was going to suggest if you just pop down whilst I'm there, like just bring the car around and I'll have a quick look at it for you.
Tell you what, I'll meet you halfway.
Yeah, that's it. But no, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to doing America. We've got there's another famous car that I'll be working on in America. I can't say anything yet because it's not been set in stone yet, but a very, very famous car that I'll be working on in America. You guys will all know it anyway. I'll just say it was flood damaged.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. The funny thing, you said famous car, my brain immediately went to like Kit, like Knight Rider.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking.
Okay, no. And then
I was thinking of the same person you were thinking of, but not the same car. But yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, that's one of the questions I had on there. What is the coolest car you've worked on so far that you can talk about?
The coolest car I've worked on for me.
I mean, you've done the Revuelto, obviously.
I couldn't fix the Revuelto though. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Tried everything.
Is that one of the only cars that's beaten you?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, no, there's been loads of cars that I've not been able to do in the, like, throughout my time doing it, but we don't put that out there. it happens to everyone.
I'm
good at what I do, but I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm a master at it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm just good at blagging my way through it. I think the coolest car that I've probably worked on, and it's one of my own personal favorites, is got to be, and I only did like some electronic checks on it and stuff like that. It's got to be Matt's Mercy. I absolutely love that car.
That's our favorite as well.
He's built it so well, honestly. I've not actually worked on it. All I did was just when the cluster failed, we did a few checks and stuff like that, and determined that the GFA was messed up on it. But I've got to say, that's pretty cool. I've got to go and work on a Senna in the next week or two, I think it is. That's going to be a pretty cool car to work on as well. I've not worked on a McLaren P1, but I will be doing that at some point. But I love supercars. It's only because when I was a kid, I never thought that I'd even have a chance to even touch one, let alone, because we used to go to the motor show when I was a kid, my parents used to take us, and you'd see them on the big podiums and stuff like that. And you'd be like, that's only rich people can afford them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, never thought I'd even get a chance to touch one of them cars, let alone sit in it and work on it, strip it, and like do wiring and stuff on them and stuff like that. So for me, that's like, it's a massive achievement to be able to say that, I've worked on these cars and stuff like that.
And now you've potentially got your own.
I know. Like, today has been one of the best days of my life.
Oh, amazing. Like,
literally.
Because of the Cream podcast, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Ferrari second.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So have we got anything else on that one?
Is there a dream car that you'd like to work on? Obviously there are dream cars you'd like to own, but is there one that you'd like to work on? One that you'd like, a McLaren F1, something that is almost unobtainium that you'd like to work on?
I would love to work on an F1. F1 car, cool. Like an actual race.
Oh, an Formula One car.
An actual Formula One car. I would love to work on a Formula One car.
Yeah, mate, just coded you in some keys. I've lost the other one.
Do you know what I mean?
Lando Norris is in there. Turn it again. Hey, wait, what's that?
The start button won't work. Yeah. F1 car would be absolutely epic to work on. I'm trying to think what else.
Forget, like, that. Of course, there is going to be someone at each team who is dealing with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Who is essentially doing your sort of work on an F1 car.
Yeah.
Going, starter motor's not going again.
Like, they've got to have electrical issues on them. Do you know what I mean? The amount of heat that goes through them, there's got to be issues. And modules, they fail all the time. It happens. Do you know what I mean?
You might get that call now. You might get that call. Yeah. Like, can you come down to
manifesting
working?
You need to go and hang around the pits.
That's it.
Oh, look, that wiring looks a bit dodgy.
I've got a code reader. I've got an Autel.
Where's the OBD?
If you want.
Yeah. Wonder if an F1 car has an OBD port. That'd be crazy.
I'm trying to think what other car I'd love to work on. I think I'd love to work on a McLaren P1. That is just another one of my ultimate cars. But what else would there be? I don't know. I think there's so many cars that I haven't worked on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's thousands of different models out there. But I think I'd like to do more work on a Murcielago.
Yeah.
I would definitely like to do a lot more work on a Mercy.
Join the club.
Yeah.
I'd like to do the work, but behind the wheel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. What about to own then?
To own?
Obviously, you've now got...
Okay, you know, so Lamborghini Murcielago.
Yep, same.
The correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ferrari 488. I really like them.
Interesting.
As well.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I like the Ferrari 488 because my ultimate dream car when I was a kid was a 355.
Okay.
That was my poster car was a Ferrari 355.
We've gone out there.
I know, I've seen
it. We can sell you that.
I'm not buying two cars today, all right?
You can take it with you.
That was my ultimate favorite car. And I think it's got to be a P1.
Yeah.
That be one is be... every time I see one now, like even in a photo, I keep thinking that is going to age so perfectly compared to
something about that rear end. It's just the way that the lights are, and even the side of it, the way that spoiler comes up, just like.
Like when I see a 918 and a LaFerrari, they are stuck in the early 2010s.
Yeah.
They're not, I'm not saying they've aged badly, but that's where they live. A P1 is still looks fresh current. To me now. Yeah. When we saw one at Goodwood, it's perfect.
Yeah.
There is nothing I would change about a P1. Yeah. It's simply perfect.
So at Goodwood, I seen the P1, is it GTR or the...
The Lanzante one?
Yeah, the Lanzante one.
Yeah.
What a car. Honestly, like, if there weren't people around, that tissue box would be out, mate. Honestly, literally, there was just too many people, man. Yeah. But honestly, that car was epic. I just looked at it and I was like, I'd love to build something like that. So it wouldn't have to be an actual race car, but building it to make it look like
it has
a race
the vibe
car.
Of it. Yeah.
So, like, you know, you're on the streets and it's just got like your harness, it just looks, people like, that should be on a track right now.
Yeah.
That is the kind of car that I'd love to own.
Well, I want to actually,
one thing I do want to do, I will do this at some point, is I want to build a road going F1 car.
Okay. Oh, that's quite cool.
Yeah, a road legal F1 car. So obviously there'll be loads of things on it that aren't F1, but literally helmet on, looking like an F1 car on the road. That is something that I want to do.
You know what, that's endgame Matt Armstrong. You know, rebuilding a crashed F1 car,
crashed F1 road legal.
That is the ultimate goal for me.
That would be amazing.
To build something like that. That would be, I think that at that point, I would happily say, I'm completed, mate. Yeah, I've completed it.
Life has been finished. I'm all good.
That's it. Just drive straight into a wall. Just
in the F1 car.
Yeah. Go up in a blaze.
I completed it. Done. Off I go.
I think that might be it for the questions we've got.
Benjamin, do we have a forum?
We do.
Oh, sorry. We do. Here we go.
What's
Dips for those of you that don't know, we do a section called the forum, which is where, like the forums of the early 2000s, you're allowed to ask a question into the void and see if anybody answers. Usually it's us saying something completely ridiculous. So what have we got from a viewer?
Jim Wade.
Mr. Jim.
No, sorry, Jim Wade 8201 on YouTube. Forum question. When you go to sell a car that is modified, would you revert it to stock or sell it as it is? Hmm. It seems like you would probably lose money trying to sell a modified car.
Interesting.
Can I throw out there as well? Some people also think a lot of very possibly. One thing that people also think a lot of time is that mods add the value as well. So perhaps throw that in there.
Yeah, they do not. First things first, mods. It depends on the mods.
Yeah.
Some mods can add value, but if you're adding, you know, wicked Maxton design splitters and that sort of stuff, you're not getting that money back.
Because modifications are often taste.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you are modifying to your taste, that will you then narrow the amount of the pool of people that are then interested in that car. And a lot of people get put off by someone else having modified a car. Some people want to do it themselves.
But for instance, you're on the flip side of that. Mm. You look for the car that has the mods already done.
Yeah. And again, that depends on like how it was done and that kind of thing. I've bought plenty of cars that have been modified because like the GTR I had before, for example, I paid roughly the same as what you pay for a standard one, but it had a £25,000 kit on it that I don't want to pay that.
Yeah.
I don't want to, because
if you're getting it for the right,
because if you pay that money, you're going to, that money's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. You're not getting any of that back. Some people will try and do that. Again, that happens a lot. For example, GTRs, someone will put £50,000 making a GTR 1,000 horsepower, and they'll try and sell a 40 grand car for 90 grand.
Yeah.
And that car will be for sale for a very, very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless it is so unbelievably, you know, your pool of buyers are very small.
Yeah. If you get
lucky, it might sell in 3 years. It might sell in 3 days, but you just don't know.
Yeah. For me, I will return. It depends on the car. Like my M3, I deliberately don't do anything to it that is not reversible. If I was to go and sell that car tomorrow, it would be on the standard suspension, standard wheels, standard airbox. Everything would just go back to original and I'd sell all the parts separately because that's how you maximize the amount of money. But what I'd love to do is put a carbon roof on it. So it's like a proper CSL.
Mm.
But if I do that, someone's going to go, why is there a carbon roof on this car?
Yeah.
Everything else is standard. It's got original, you know, 19-inch wheels, but it's got a carbon roof. So you have to walk a line between what you want to do and what is easy to reverse.
Yeah. It depends, car to car. Some cars are very popular, like lots of BMW, like M3, like E92s, for example. It's almost a standard that it might be a little bit lower. It might have spacers and it might have an exhaust mod. People aren't that bothered by that because like, if they buy that, I'm saving a grand or two and then I can do whatever
and they're doing afterwards. That. You're, if you're buying one, you're doing it.
You're
anyway.
Going to do them bits too.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So, and as long as it hasn't been done by someone who's a bit of, you know, half-wit, then you're all good.
What's the line? Because we kind of talked about it before about mods that put you off, but what's something that if you saw, you'd be like, ooh, no, I'm not, because they've modified it in that way, I'm steering clear of this car.
Paint.
Interesting. Yeah. No, as in a factory repaint, or they've painted it a different color?
For me, it would be the, it's not even about the factory or the color, it would be the quality of the job.
Okay. Mm.
Because if they've painted it in like a, for example, if you got a E46 M3, and they've painted it in this lovely purple, because I love the purple.
Like color. Alex's car, yeah.
Yeah. But if the quality of the job, so if it wasn't purple initially and they've painted it purple, the quality of the job would be like, okay, yeah, I'll buy it. I'm not bothered the fact that it used to be silver or something like that. But it's got to be the quality of the job.
Yeah.
Now, for me, the paint is a big, big thing.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
That's it, the same thing for the M3 for me. Like I would have happily bought a black car and painted it myself.
Yeah.
Not painted myself, but got it painted green. So I just wanted the color.
Mm.
But to know that it's an original car, that's why people then go, oh, I want it.
Yeah.
Because it's original.
Yeah. But I think so, some people are put off by something being modified too far. Mm. Again, like you were saying about the M3, but if you sold the M3 as it was, someone could take those bits off and reverse it. Whereas if you buy an M3 that has got bucket seats in it, we've got a welded cage,
we've got
an engine that's been built and is only really built for like track day stuff, then you start to, again, the amount of people looking at it going, oh, well, I can't really use that.
Yeah.
I can't reverse it. It's cost so much to reverse it. You don't know who's done
the work on the engine.
Yeah.
So if you've got one that's stock, you know that you can do the work on it. But when you get someone that's done the work on it and it's like, well, it's been done in a backstreet garage and they might be good at what they're doing, but it's been done in a backstreet garage and you're like, is it going to last?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, how long is this 1,000 brake or 500 brake engine going to actually last?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's been done by a company that's really reputable and they've got receipts for everything and they've got pictures and like photos, videos, whatever, then it's like, okay, cool. It's proven. They're a good company and all the rest of it. Then it's like, all right, fair play. You're still not getting what you're asking for it.
we've seen it with the cars we've bought. Granted, TDC buy the lowest end of the spectrum, but we've bought cars that have had lists of like, oh, it's got this, that, it's this done. The Zafira had a list, ridiculously long list up. We got it in the air. Subframe was held on with one bolt.
No.
Like that was, there are lots of things like that where it's, okay, I don't, you can say that it has lots of this stuff, but I don't believe you anyway. Unless you can show me it with a receipt and I can see it on the car, I don't believe you.
If there is a car that seems quite cheap and I see the word forged.
Oh yeah.
To do with the engine. my senses are up. I'm heightened because again, we've done it twice now. We've had the Zafira, which was a very cheap Zafira at the
time. Stupid cheap.
And it said forged engine. And there are receipts for, and there are
photos
of pistons, rods, loads of stuff. But it was done by a man at home.
Mm.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're like, okay, there's a lot of money worth parts in here.
Yeah.
But if it blows up, it's a lot of scrap metal, basically. And same with the S3.
The S3, yeah.
S3 had what, forged rods?
Forged rods, yes.
Standard pistons. But again, there's a whole amount of cost involved that if it went to a professional, you'd be talking about a $5,000 engine build.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's a few hundred quid in parts and a man.
And Danny's weekend at home.
So all of a sudden, you see the word forged and go, oh, God.
Cool.
It's got a forged engine and it's $2,000 cheaper than it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
a very good reason for that.
Brackets, run.
Leave. Don't worry about the forged. Especially when you see something that's been forged and it's running like the sort of power that you wouldn't need it to be forged.
Yeah.
That is why has it been rebuilt?
Why did you need to do that?
Why did you do that in the first place? And why have you not pushed it further?
Yeah.
Why have you spent that money buying good bits and then pushed it further?
No, I don't need it.
There's normally, whenever someone says all it needs is this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's never.
It never needs just this. There's normally a long list hidden behind this.
Yeah. That's a good question. Thank you very much, Mr. Jim Wade. We don't have a Carspiracy to end.
Sadly.
Well, I'm pretty happy with it there.
You know what? I actually want to have an argument with Ben.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay. That was close. We nearly.
To any of you that have switched off early,
You've missed it.
Because we had an argument at lunch and we paused it because I decided that we should have it here on the podcast. We've been talking about daily drivers for Ben. So Ben has an X5, used to be my X5, 3-litre diesel, 2005, E53, if you like.
Any more information?
Sterling grey, 6 HP automatic,
plate,
20 inch.
When was last service?
I don't know, it's your comic.
Can we get the plate on the... what we can tell you is that the door pockets and footwells are full of rubbish.
No, they're not. That is fabrication.
Oh, Ben just casts empty food wrappers into his footwell.
I did. I was at Tesco's last night. I thought, there's a bin there.
But anyway, you've had this car for some time. It's done many miles by both me and you.
Yep.
But you're now starting to get a bit tired of the MPG and also the fact that when it needs fixing, it's more expensive than the usual car.
It's like this week I'm here 4 days and that is 800 miles of driving in that car, which is just
really?
The wear on that. Yeah, it's just is ridiculous. And then in a normal car, suspension arm, it's 100 quid. Mm. That car, £500.
Yeah. So we were sat in the next room and we thought, right, let's have a think about what he could have as a daily. And we're thinking about like boring stuff. And Edwin pitched an idea.
I did.
I loved this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pull it over onto the screen. Now, Dips, tell me what your thoughts are about one of these. Do you know? No? Straight off the bat, not doing anything for you?
I'm not a big Alpha fan.
Oh, you see, this Dips, you can be here every week if you like.
It's a 2v2 then.
Because...
Yeah, I'm not a big Alpha fan.
Because that for audio listeners... this is an Alfa Romeo 159 sport wagon, or as we like to call them, spaghetti wagon. because they are just incredibly good looking.
It's just a fantastic looking automobile.
Oh man, I love
Where
owls.
Do you find the good looks in that?
That's an Whoa! Owl.
Like, oh, no, I'm genuinely, Dips, I'm genuinely asking. Now, what part of that looks good?
I'm not saying it's E-type beautiful.
No,
but I think for a regular run-of-the-mill car.
Yeah. I mean, I like the headlights.
That's what I mean. What? The front,
that's
the thing.
That's
the
bit
end.
That looks horrible.
No, as in the round headlights.
I hate the fact that they're not. Like, why have you got a whole headlight system, but it's individual light bulbs just plopped in a hole?
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
What? I don't understand.
It's stupid. A normal headlight is a headlight.
Is it an estate?
Yeah, that's so you can get an estate or you can get a saloon.
There's also a Brera, which is like a coupe hatchback version, and there's a Spider.
But the thing I'm saying to you, and this is as someone who will own BMWs till the day he dies, compare that to what was on offer, just an E91 run-of-the-mill E91.
Yeah.
Tell me that is not 10,000 times better looking.
No.
It's cooler. Also, it's better looking.
It's more. I admit that it's cooler.
You could have your favorite combination in that far easier than you could with the 3 Series. You could have a black on tan 159, and you'd find it easy.
That was going to be my next port of call. The interiors on these. If you can tell me, Benjamin,
I like the interiors. It's a Brera interior, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I like those interiors. That's fine.
If you,
it's the front end. It just. I don't really want the abuse.
That's the best. Look at that. That's the best interior.
That's good. That's
it. That is a incredible interior.
It's GTA car interior, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I actually think I know.
What do you mean by that?
What is it? I think it is one of them is basically inspired by this.
Oh, actually,
it's it might be the Viper has basically that center console.
I do like it, the front is just, it's an L.
No, that's not what you're talking about. That is the best part of that car.
It's an angry owl.
What are you talking about?
That's an owl. I don't like it.
I will say, I had a Brera many years ago.
I'm sorry to hear
I will say, it like as a car, fairly dreadful.
Really?
Which is the only thing Ben is after my situation.
Like, compared to a 3 Series, it's pretty appalling. But look at it.
Yeah,
really not the wheel.
I'm not
TI
replacing the X5 with an Alpha for reliability. That doesn't.
Also, what would you like if you were to replace?
This is not the thing. This is possibly not the most interesting podcast chat because I don't want anything interesting. I want something that's going to give me good MPG, that's going to be cheap to fix and also relatively reliable and doesn't break, and that I can just because I still have the clear, so I have a fun car.
Do you have absolutely zero desire for to even have? Even have an inkling of interesting because we were going through your list of criteria and what you basically described is a bicycle or some sort of non-turbo diesel French hatchback and then you start to go well I want it to be a bit fast well I would like it to be comfortable
yeah.
but I'd like to be automatic.
what we basically came down to is that you have the option of a Golf wagon, a Passat, and then take any variation of Seat or Skoda addition to that.
It just does so very little
but
for my I know. I'm trying not to care.
And Volvos. Volvo's the other one.
I like a Volvo, but I don't actually think...
You look like a Volvo driver.
That's tough.
Possibly not a compliment there, Dibs.
That's a really tough
Possibly
one.
Not a compliment. But you know what? I'll take it.
No,
I'm
but
like,
you know what? I actually, we did a road trip to Germany and we had a Volvo XC60, I think it was.
Okay.
Brand new one. I loved it.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. Honestly,
really,
it's such a good car. I drove it. It had all the adaptive everything, and it was brilliant. And I'm not a Volvo guy, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah, here we go.
My belief is that Ben should finance, lease, or whatever.
I was going to
a newer car.
I was going to say this, perhaps to the Creamers. to a creamer out there who has perhaps lives our life. They like, you know, a living life quarter mile at time, but B, you know, dealing with terrible, awful shit cars every day and a project car. If one of you's out there and has leased a car or financed a car as a daily, did it make your life good?
How did you feel?
But the thing is, improve your life?
Everyone who likes bad cars is going to argue everyone who likes new cars.
No, they're going to say you should buy a $4,000 Range Rover.
Exactly. And then they'll go, they're so reliable if you spend $4,000 a year maintaining them. Yeah.
But this is my point. This is why I'm asking the elder creamer, the one who, you know, has thought with their brain.
Someone that
is into cars and loves cars and does dumb stuff, but has recently, also sounds like a tee up to a
house.
No, who's financed the car. Did it actually improve your life? Because if the answer is yes, Ben, there could be an answer.
And we're talking like newer, something that's new, reliable, maybe in a warranty, whatever. So, because in my head, that's for you.
I know.
As the human being that you are, if you had a car that you could jump in every day.
I can't shell out £300 a month, though, for some box.
No, but it doesn't have to be a box, mate.
I know, but
it could be a car.
No, I don't know. I can't win because part of me wants, I want to be excited by it, but I won't be.
Let's see what the creamers come back with.
And if anyone wants to buy an X5, don't buy mine.
Now, creamers will decide.
Before we end, a quick question. Is the next podcast going to be away in Monterey?
No.
No.
Okay, never mind. You can go ahead and cut that. Okay, well, I think that was a nice, you know what, a positive end to the argument.
Yeah.
We started coming at Ben. We ended coming with Ben. And on that note, thank you very much for listening to the Cars Revolving Around Me podcast. You can find Dips on his YouTube channel, P1 Auto Keys. You can find him on website and on Instagram as well. So make sure you go and check him out. Watch a video. It's incredibly interesting. Thank you very much, Dips, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been brilliant.
You got a Ferrari to go and get.
I know. I still can't believe it. It's just absolutely mad. But no, thank you guys for having me. And I'm sure you'll be ringing me for another job soon. That's only going to take five minutes.
They'll find 10 minutes. As always, cream get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Bye.
Make way. Coming through. Rolling deep with my entourage here. Make way.
Sorry, are you on GIFGAF or something?
Yeah, and they just saved me £400 on this new Google Pixel 9 Pro.
That explains the swagger. What's with all the ducklings?
My entourage. Say hi, guys. Get the latest phones at great prices from GIFGAF. Ends August 10th. Terms apply. See GIFGAF.com for more info.
Bye.
Cream.